This Ujjala Nilamani, chapter 1, very lengthy discussion on verse number 21. And we heard the viewpoints of Sri Jiva Goswami, who in this book, and Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami, he supports and upholds and appears to believe in the idea that in Vrindavan, Krishna has Swakiya Bhav relationship with Radha and Krishna. They're in the mood of being married. But that's the opinion. That's the opinion of Jiva Goswami. But this is not the viewpoint or the opinion of Vishnu Chakravartipad or Rupa Goswami or any of the other Goswamis or any of our Gaudiya Vaishnava. There may be a few Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, but most of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas down to the present, including our own teachers, do not endorse or accept the idea or ontological point that Krishna in Vrindavan is married to Radharani. Because then, if he's married, that means there's no Parikya Ras, no Parikya Bhav, no Utpati Bhav. That means that Krishna is less than a materialistic hero. Because any materialistic hero in a material natyam, drama or movies or whatever, there's always, in our own eyes, in our own reality, we see there's a pati and a upapati. There's a woman who's married to one man and nobody else. There's a woman that has her husband and other friends. Then there's the man who has a wife and has other friends. So this is a reality. We have the legal loving relationship between man and woman. It's called marriage, sakya. Then we have the illegal or immoral relationship between men and women, and then that's called paramour love. So Jiva Goswami Pad is an advocate of the married, legal, lawful, religious love, amor, madhurati. So that was his opinion, and now we've been hearing, and we'll hear more about the viewpoints of the whole rest of the Gaudiya Sampradaya as voiced so clearly and emphatically by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in chapter 1 of Ujjala Nilamani and verse number 21 in his 39-page purport, which were reading selected readings. Yesterday we heard about the Gopal Mantra. He's citing different proofs to show that, to one sense, defeat Jiva Goswami's position by using Praman. Because if that's what munis do. You argue your case based on the Shrutis or Upanishads, etc. Then I refute that or argue back, and also based on the Vedanta Sutras. And then some judge has to decide which is correct, or maybe both are correct, or neither one is correct. So Jiva Goswami cited his references, but then Vishnath comes back with the Diksha Mantra for the entire Gaudiya Sampradaya. Indicates very clearly, and this Diksha Mantra comes from the Pancharatric literatures, and this Diksha Mantra is also in the Shrutis, and the Shrutis means the Upanishads. So in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which I've said before, it's a review, in Gopal Tapani Upanishad you find the explanation of the Gopal Mantra, you find the introduction and description of Radharani and Krishna and the gopis and their madhura relationship and Upapati Parakiya Bhav. So Vishnu Chakravarti, as an argument to prove that Krishna is the Vallabh, Krishna is the Vallabh, Krishna is the Upapati, Krishna is the lover, the intimate lover in the amorous affairs with the married ladies of Vrindavan, the wives of the coward men, because in the Shrutis, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, it says this mantra, Gopal Mantra. And one word of the Gopal Mantra is Gopi Jana Vallabha, which means he's a lover of the ladies of Vrindavan, the Gopi Jan. So lover, the word Vallabha, which we mentioned yesterday, means Madhurya Rati, the man-woman love, love between Krishna and the gopis, their sweet, intimate love. So the Shrutis are saying that paramour love, Utpati Bhav, exists eternally. That this is a feature, this is not, Krishna is not married, and this is the proof. So that's what we kind of review of what we discussed yesterday and some elaboration on the meditation upon the Gopal Mantra. So here, continuing this purport, selected passages, this, after citing the Vedas and Acharyas to prove that Krishna and his pastimes are all eternal, Vishnu says, thus, Krishna eternally lifts Govardhan Hill. Eternally, Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill, not for 7 days, not for 7 weeks, not for 7 million years, but for Nityakal. Why? Because every one of Krishna's pastimes is eternal, every single one. So how is it eternal? It's eternal in two ways. Krishna shows the pastime here, and then everyone sees Prakat Leela, it's manifest before their eyes. Then he leaves this material universe and withdraws his pastimes from the view of the earthly people. And Krishna goes to another universe in the material world, to another earth planet. Then he, Prakat Leela, he manifests his birth and his pastimes. So exactly when Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill here, he's also in some other universe. He's got to that point where he's lifting Govardhan Hill. So as soon as Krishna puts Govardhan Hill down, there's somewhere where he's lifting it up in some other universe. And there's another universe where he's also just pulling it down. Because lowering the Govardhan Hill, raising it and putting it back, they're also eternal. So he's eternally putting it down. That's the first way. And then the second way the Krishna's pastimes are eternal. That they're eternal, yes, third way, in Aprakat Dham. There's Krishna's Prakat Leela somewhere in the material universe being visible. Then there's this eternally Astakali Leela going on in Goloka Vrindavan, which is always visible to the Nityasiddha Janas, liberated souls and eternal associates. That's two. Then the third way is any one of those earth planets in Vrindavan Dham where Krishna was or displayed his Prakat Leela, any sadhaka, lady or gentleman, who does bhajan, niskinchan bhajan, pure bhajan, and attains prema, then here he will also see, oh, for so many years I've been walking around Govardhan Hill, and so many hundreds of artiks I've offered, and hundreds of bhog offerings, and stutis and pujas to Govardhan. But now in my meditation, I'm seeing Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. That's why we have these pictures, Leela pictures. Leela pictures are painted in the Sanskrit shlokas of the books we read and study. So when we read the Govardhan Leela in chapter 24 of 10th canto, chapter 24 and 25 is follow-up, then that's to be for the sadhaka, the bhakta sadhaka. Such stories of Krishna's Nitya Leela are given as a technique for meditation, you can say instructions or a guide. So we read this Leela and Krishna's lifting and then everyone's looking and we're just reading and thinking and meditating, then one fine day we'll see it. Krishna says, oh, you're always thinking of this Leela all the time and always meditating like this, and I'll show you this Leela. Then you'll see that Leela. So then at that moment, and for that period of time, where you're immersed in antar chitta, in internal consciousness, seeing Krishna's Nitya Leela, lifting Govardhan, dancing in Ras Leela, somebody taking out the cows, then you will be actually in the spiritual world, in the Aprakat Dham. So therefore, even on this earth planet, we say Krishna left this planet in 3012 B.C., some figure like that is given, that they write. Because 30 years after Krishna left this planet in 3012 BC, which is 5,000 some years ago, then 30 years after Krishna left, then the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to King Parikshit by Sukadeva Goswami. When was it spoken? When did they speak? What day, what month? Was the Srimad Bhagavatam? When is the birthday of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Many people have gone to VIHE and studied the Bhagavatam. Like we study about Krishna, but usually we know about his birthday. I think so. And we study Krishna in the Leela Granth and Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is Radha Krishna's Sarup. So the Bhagavatam has a birthday also. Avirbhav, a manifestation day. So what is it? So although I had read this particular book where it comes from, that answer, I don't recall seeing it. So I wrote a letter to one Gaudiya Vaishnava scholar, Dr. Satyanarayan Das Babaji Maharaj, and he replied, is the Padma Puran in the Bhagavat Mahatmyam. You may recall, maybe heard stories from Bhagavat Mahatmyam. In Bhagavat Mahatmyam, it explains about Bhakti Devi has two sons, Gyan and Vairagya. Have you ever heard? And they were in South India, and they were all shriveled up. Bhakti is like just a metaphor, an analogy. There's no real person known as Bhakti Devi. But Bhakti Devi, in other words, Bhakti brings Gyan and Vairagya. That's in first canto of Bhagavatam. Automatically, if you become pure in devotion, you become detached, and you Krishna gives knowledge, sufficient knowledge to practice bhakti and attain perfection. So she was all shriveled up. And then she came to Vrindavan and got some energy. So in that same book, Bhagavat Mahatmyam, it talks about Bhagavat Saptaha and how that came about. Not the 7 days of Parikshit, but then it talks about Parikshit. So it says there, Padma Puran Bhagavat Mahatmyam, it says that Shukadeva Goswami began to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit and Bhadra Shukla Nomi. Bhadra Shukla Nomi means the day after Radhastami. Radharani is born in Bhadra Shukla Ashtami. It's called Radhastami. So the next day we could, although I haven't seen, we could call it Bhagavat Nomi. Like we have Ram Nomi. This is my idea. Maybe I haven't seen it written. Radhastami, Krishna Ashtami. So that we can have Bhagavat Nomi. The appearance of Bhagavatam was 30 years after the disappearance of Krishna. And he quoted that date. I suppose that date of 3012 was also in the Padma Puran Bhagavat Mahatmyam, because that was in the letter. So that means 30 years after Krishna left, so 3042 or so, 30 and whatever. 43, like that. So that this is the birth of the Bhagavatam. Right after Radharani appears, then her glories appear the next day. Because the whole Bhagavatam, the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish and present and announce to the whole world the glories of Radharani's infinitely, unlimitedly wonderful love called Madanakya Mahabhav, the highest feature and presentation of Madhurya Rati. So a very interesting connection that the whole Bhagavatam leads us to the lotus feet of Radharani. First she appears on Radhastami, and then she says, oh, you want to know how to attain me? Here. Here's the handbook that teaches you how to attain my lotus feet. Study the Bhagavatam. The association. Bhagavat Rasika Sangha. Bhagavat Swad Rasika Bhakta Saha Sangha. Vishnu Chakravarti says that Rupa Goswami says the five most important aspects of bhakti, Panchanga Bhakti. One is hearing Bhagavatam. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, Sri Vishnu Chakravartipad says that, he elaborates on that, says not only Bhagavat Shravan or hearing Bhagavatam, but Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. One should hear the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan, in association with Rasik Vaishnavas. Those that are relishing or understanding or presenting the rasa viewpoint of the Bhagavatam, because it is a rasa shastra. But it is also pramanic. There's also laws and facts and ontological truths contained in the Bhagavatam, which can strengthen our bhakti foundation and our sambandha practices of abhideya. But the goal, the Bhagavatam, is a prayojan. It's leading us to the Madhurya Prema Vrindavan. So this viewpoint, as we said, is of others. So the pastimes are eternal. So the form of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill always exists along with the name Govardhan Dari and the action of lifting Govardhan. Even today, devotees can realize this, which is what I said. There is also worship and meditation on deity forms. One commits offense by thinking that the forms and activities of Krishna are not eternal. And such offensive worship will cause no joy. Thus, Krishna's names corresponding to the activity are eternal because the name and the form are both necessary constituents of the Lord. So when we say Rasa Bihari is the name for Krishna. He dances in the rasa dance. So he has the Maharas dance and major dances, Vasant Ras. But it's just a name. We say name, Rasvihari. But in that name, Rasvihari is the form. And in that name, Rasvihari is not only the form, the name and the form and the qualities, but the leelas of Rasvihari. Just saying the name Rasvihari, then you'll see Krishna enjoying the Rasa dance with all the gopis and the Yamuna Palina and the Irshamira on the banks of the Yamuna under the full moon night in August, Sharad Purnima. You just chant Rasvihari, 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 and all this opens up. That's what, because the name Rasvihari is Bhagavan being named after an eternal pastime. The Rasalila is eternal. So the name is also eternal, and Krishna is he who is named is eternal. So Krishna is eternal, his name is eternal. So we say Chakradari, or we say Kansari. Kansari means the killer of Kans, or Chakradari, he carries the chakra. So these are names, but they describe Krishna in his leelas, and Vishnu, Ram, etc. So this is a very, very important comment or tika of Vishnath on this Vishnu Leela Mani, which has lots of important siddhanta to understand Krishna as the hero, which we're discussing. So this is, he's giving a whole overview of to establish the eternality of Krishna's pastimes, and that they're completely transcendental, and there's no immorality or irreligiousness in any of Krishna's dealings with the gopis, although it's upapati bhav and it's madhurya, it's man-woman type love. Radha and Krishna, the gopis, loving pastimes. So he wants to understand the eternality, the transcendent. Because if Krishna wasn't a material upapati, or materially having these type of affairs, that's temporary. Because the man lives and he dies, and his concubine or girlfriend, whatever, wife of someone else, she lives and dies. So the materialistic upapati nayak, who is considered abominable and immoral and irreligious, that is temporary. So he's saying Krishna is also upapati, but it's not material, and the proof that it's not material because it's eternal. And something is eternal is spiritual, transcendental. So this is one point he wants to make. Then he says, not only Krishna and his leelas, but his associates all are eternal. And this is the Ala Chakra. It's called the Ala Chakra. You know chakra. Ala means fire. Ala Chakra means the firebrand. Ala, like we say, Davanala, Samsara Davanala. So Davan means forest, and Ala means fire. Right? Samsara Davanala Lida. So Lida means afflictions, difficulties, pain in my mind and body, pain in your body. You give me pain, I give you pain. The weather, other people like this, our own bodies, our minds. So this is the what he's saying here. Krishna always has an eternal form. That form is eternally manifest, but not manifest to everyone eternally unless we have prema. Because of this, Krishna's pastimes of birth and activities are also eternal. Thus, the individuality and manifestation of Krishna's associates in the pastimes and places in unlimited Vaikunthas and unlimited universes is also eternal. The beginning and completion of actions revealed by the Lord's form are located in one place, but when a portion of the birth and actions are completed in that place, that portion begins in another universe. Since the Lord is eternal, because of having no destruction, the birth and activities exist elsewhere after being completed in one place. In other words, it's like Krishna's shooting an arrow and, or no, let's say he's fighting cutting some demon's head off and his Dwarka Leela with his arrows or chakra. The minute that head falls on the ground, some other universe, Krishna's again doing it and again doing it. It's like cartoons or animation. Animation, they draw like 50 little pictures, little cartoons, and the guy is just doing a little something different each one. And they run them fast by motion pictures in motion. And then it appears like one continuous action. But it's like, you know, some monkey hangs on a tree. First drawing is like this. Then he's like that. And then so this is like the sequence goes so fast it looks like it's an illusion. We're actually seeing individual, dot, 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 like you're picking up a cup. So when it goes fast, this is all science of the moves. So that's the Ala Chakra. Ala Chakra means firebrand. You go in your room at night, you light some incense, you shake it out, then there's a little red glow in the incense, and like a child, and then you turn it around in a circle. And it looks like, although it's single points of red, it's actually a point, it's the incense is, in 1 millisecond it's there, one red dot, and one red dot, and one red dot. But when you make it fast, like the motion picture, it looks like a continuous chakra circle. It's called Ala Chakra. So Krishna's pastimes are so inconceivably fast, so fast it's simultaneous. How fast is simultaneous? You can't measure. It's within 15 millionths of a split second. There's no difference, so you can't even measure it. He's being born here, he's being born exactly the same way, exactly the same second, exactly the same time, everything, and somewhere else. So that way it's just eternal. So that's what he's trying to explain in words here. Prabhupada used the term the traveling road show. That's kind of antiquated nowadays, obviously. But 50, 100 years ago, there were traveling circuses, acrobats and the fat man, the thin man, and the fire guy would breathe fire and swallow swords and a magic show, then lions and dancing lions and tigers and many things called circus performers. And they would open the circus tents, 2, 3, 4 tents, and the show would go on, and all the show, everyone sees. Then after 2, 3 days, they pack it all up and go to another town. And again, the same show, the same lions, the same fire, guy swallowing fire and cutting a lady in half, cuts his wife in half with a saw, two halves fall on the stage. Magic. Especially when you're 5 years old. Ah, mommy, what's that? So this is Krishna's transcendental magic show. It's going all around the place. Words and analogies are to give some speck of an idea of the inconceivable, some speck of an idea of the imperceptible, some speck of an idea of the unimaginable. We can't even imagine or conceive or think or see such a thing, but we accept it. That's faith, Vishwas. And we'll see it. We've heard these Christian people say, I saw him, I saw Jesus. People in some fit of a drug frenzy or some maybe true enlightening experience due to deprivation of the senses, extensive 40-day fastings in the caves of Italy, all these friars and monks, they have these mystic, the Christian mystics of the 15th century, the mystical experiences of the Kabbalah or whatever. So these different saints and sages, they meditate and they have experiences of God, they see God. So then for them, God is right there, it's real. So we in the same line, the sadhakas of devotion, we meditate on Nastakali, Leela, Vrata, and Krishna, and their forms and their Leela stalis. We sit all the time, devotees sit, and at the banks of Radhakund, and they're thinking, Radhakund looks like this. And all this pastime goes on, that pastime, and this very place. So in this very place, this pastime is going on right in front of my eyes. I'm here at 12:30 in the afternoon. It's 1 o'clock, they're splashing water. I'm reading it. See, I'm reading it, 1:15. It's 1:15. Jai Shri, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. And all the gopis are cheering. But then Madhumango and Nandamukhi and Brinda and Subal, they're on the other side and another chatri. They're cheering, Jai Sham, Jai Sham, Jai Sham. Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. So I'm reading that. Okay, now close my eyes. Oh, I hear it. I hear something. Oh, I see them. How is it? Because it's nitya. But we are not nitya. We are still attached to the asat. So when we become nitya, which means transcendental, not asat, which means material, then we can see the nitya. With eyes of prem, you can see prem lila. Simple mathematics. But if we don't have eyes of prem, then can't see prem. Like Prabhupada used to say, if you want to enter fire, you have to become like fire. So they wear asbestos suit. If you want to enter the ocean or go under the water, you have to become like a fish. So fish have their own oxygen, and they have their own flippers. They have their own flippers and fins. They have fins and flippers to move around. So when a man wants to be a fish, he Yeah, to enter the water, enter that atmosphere of the ocean, yes, become like a fish. So he puts on flippers, which are like fins, and he throws oxygen tanks on his back. Scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Scuba tank. But the fish has that built in already. Scuba, self-contained, self-contained breathing apparatus. So then he can enter. So Prabhupada said the same thing. How do they go to the moon? Radisham. They don't have that proper apparatus. They don't have the proper body. To enter the moon, you need a moon body. So similarly, to enter spiritual lila of Krishna, you need a spiritual body, which means a spiritual heart, which gives spiritual eyes. So when one has a spiritual body and spiritual eyes, then he lives in a nitya lila and he sees a nitya lila, he or she. And he quotes a reference for this, and when Narada Muni went to Dwarka and he saw Krishna in all the palaces, simultaneously he went to 16,000 palaces. In verse 10th, canto, chapter 69, it says, he quotes this verse, Chitram Pataitat Ekena Vapusha Yugapat Pritak Kriheshu Dvashya Sahasram Striya Eka Udhavahat. Narada Muni said, and Dwarka Lila, in the Bhagavatam. It is quite amazing that in one single body, I'm seeing Krishna simultaneously marrying 16,000 princesses, each in a separate palace. Vishnu comments. Because of doing different actions in each one of his forms, Lord Dwarkadish, or Sri Krishna, identifies himself differently in all his many expanded forms in which he performs those actions. Because of this, awareness of rasa arising from the sequence of pastimes manifests in each palace in Dwarka. Thus, Krishna's birth and activities have an eternal nature, and thus, again, repeating what I said, and thus meditation on these pastimes of Krishna that Krishna has previously performed, that meditation is prescribed in the scriptures, is proper, since the pastimes are eternal and never destroyed. So this is echoing Vishnu Chakravarti, our Mahajan, Purvacharya, is echoing the same point that we are approaching the eternal. We want to be members of the eternal domain, spiritual sky, and that's the whole purpose of our sadhana bhajan, hearing and chanting and meditation. So that meditation is real, it's not imaginary. It's real, and as we become more and more pure, it'll become more and more a reality for our mind and heart and very life substance. So we're being continually reminded in the pages of the shastras and the commentaries of the acharyas about this principle of that it's real, that we will experience all of this in our bhajan, our meditation. It's not a make-believe fairy tale written on the pages of some book from some very imaginative munis and rishis and sages with very creative intelligence and good writing skills. They're simply capturing the reality that exists just beyond the cover of Maya. Krishna says in Gita, chapter 7, verse 25, Naham prakasya sarvasya lokayam yogamaya abhita. He said, I'm not manifest. Naham prakasya sarvasya. I'm not manifest to anyone or everyone. Naham, I am not. Why? Because avritam. Avritam means avrita, or avihita. Avrita means covered. I am covered by my yogamaya potency. So yogamaya acts in two ways. I cover my devotees with yogamaya so they can love me like their son and forget that I'm God. And I cover the eyes and minds of the conditioned soul with mahamaya, which is the other aspect of yogamaya, my energy. I cover them with mahamaya so they think that I'm an ordinary person and that they're also God and that this world is for them to enjoy. So this is the yogamaya potency. So the devotees, Krishna reveals it, he removes this yogamaya potency, so even while they're sadhakas, they can attain a vision of Krishna's lila. And there's so many beautiful stories you can see and avail yourself to in Braj Ki Bhakta and other books that contain the biographies of the great Vaishnavas, the saints of Braj, saints of Bengal, and other books, Gaudi Vaishnava saints, and many books are there. Bhaktamal is now in English, it's not a very great English translation. And my friends I just talked on the phone, they're reading it, they say it's actually abridged from the original Hindi. It's much more said and much more beautiful. But it gets some idea. of the lives of many great saints. Some Ramanuja followers and Ram Bhaktas and Vishnu Bhaktas and Gaudiyas are there, six Goswamis, Bhaktamal, many ancient saints, saints from Ramchandra's time, you know, saints of 3 million years ago, a lady, Shabari's a jungle lady, and she's a whole reel about her because she's a pure devotee and she served Ramachandra. So that's 3 million years ago, Shabari. She's honored and worshipped, just a simple lady of the jungle, a primitive, they say, Adivasi. Because love is love of God. God accepts anyone's love, any form. He accepts their love and returns, giving his. So we go on a little bit with Vishnu's Tika. It's really long. It's, if you want to seriously study all these topics, you can pursue it. Page 69, he continues. Vishnu's continues on page 69. He says, the cowherds, the gopis, the animals, the birds living in Vrindavan, who are assistants in Krishna's pastimes, are all beyond Maya. Their identity with their bodies is an identity as mothers and fathers is not created by Maya. Their identities are filled with eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Just as Nanda and Yashoda identify themselves as the father and mother of Krishna, Vrishabhanu and Kirtida identify themselves as the father and mother of Radha. This identity is purely spiritual. Abhimanyu's identifying himself as Radha's husband, however, is not spiritual. Now, this is very interesting, if the translation is correct. It is Maya, but it's also eternal. So don't try to figure it out. You might crack your head like a little almond in a shell. It is Maya. It is impossible that there could be eternal hatred and spiritual forms of Abhimanyu and other husbands towards the spiritual forms of Radha and other gopis. Thus, the identity of a husband who is hating his wife is Maya. Now, I think a lot of ladies can probably agree with that, with Vishnath on this. Thus, this identity as a husband is Maya. Maybe it can also say this identity as a wife is also Maya. It seems like. But only here he's saying. Because he's talking about Abhimanyu, and that's, of course, he's in Krishna's Leela. So that's an illusory husband. As Prabhupada says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Abhimanyu, quote, unquote, is a so-called husband of Krishna. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Means he's a nakali. Oh, you don't know any. He's a false, he's an illusory husband. So Vishwanath is not giving him much good position here. He's saying that the Abhimanyu's identity as Radharani's husband is Maya, a secondary expansion of Yoga Maya. And that's this arrangement or this idea or this Maya or this conception that Abhimanyu is married to Radharani is all arranged by Yoga Maya. This identity as a husband of a material woman is temporary since it is material. Though the gopis think that they are married to husbands is also created by Maya, but not Mahamaya, it's Yogamaya, because it's eternal. And the arrangements and creations of Mahamaya, which is this material world and all the relationships and people in it and things in it, is not eternal, obviously. It's temporary. So whatever Mahamaya does is temporary. That's the good news. Sometimes Mahamaya gives us a temporary headache, gives us temporary problems. So when we come under the shelter of Yogamaya, then whatever that is, even if it is a headache also, it'll be eternal. So Radharani, you know, Krishna gets a headache in a Leela. And it's eternally, he gets a headache, and eternally the dust of Radharani's feet puts it out. So this is always the best thing for any disease. The cure for any, the panacea for any disease is the dust of Radharani's feet. Radharani Charana Raj. So there's a lot, in other words, Vishnu is talking about a lot of illusory thinking going on here. The gopis thinking that, there and here also. Though the gopis thinking that they are married to husbands is also created by Maya, but it's Yogamaya. Because this exists in the core. It's a core of the whole pastimes of Krishna for the arrangement of this Parakiya Bhava. They must have such an illusory so-called husband. Because this illusion that the gopis are married is supported and encouraged by Yoga Maya for the pleasure and service of Krishna, because the Yoga Maya is a form of Krishna's personal Sru Shakti to bring about wonderful pastimes with his devotees. I added that part. The bewilderment of the gopis caused by Yoga Maya is caused by Yoga Maya, not by material Maya, because it's gunatit. The gopis and all their dealings and loving dealings and exchanges with Sri Krishna are all divine and transcendental, Divya Leela. So there's no tamagun there, there's no destruction, there's no rajagun, there's none of these modes of nature. It's all immaculate, pure, transcendental, divine, spiritual, eternal, unlimited, and unlimitedly blissful. These are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The gopis thinking that they are the wives of certain husbands is certainly an illusion, but produces their dependence on Krishna. This is the version of the wise. This is the version of the wise, even if it's not the version of Jiva Goswami, who's also very wise, but maybe wiser ones, whatever. We're finished at verse 21 about the Upapati. And tomorrow we start with text 22. And we go back to Krishna again and discussing more about, because this chapter about the Nayaka Bhed, different varieties of heroes. So then we talk about the, explaining how he's the hero because of Shringaras Saraswam. So we'll hear that verse tomorrow in the commentaries. And we'll find out about the four major categories of heroes that we said, Dhira Datta, Dhira Prashant. Then within those, there's four different behaviors of each one of those. So it's 4 times 3 is 12. So this Krishna is very, extremely vichitra, very variegated and unique. So that will be tomorrow.